Intelligent design and DNA. Scholars can't explain it all away. Get ready to be awed by the handiwork of God. Tune in to Real Science Radio. Turn up the Real Science Radio. Keeping it real.
Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. Welcome to Real Science Radio. I'm Bob Enyart, and this is part three of our June is Whale Month at Real Science Radio with Dr. Carl Werner. And Carl, thank you so much for continuing this important series on the claimed evidence of whale evolution.
Oh, you're very welcome.
Well, we're now in your Appendix F, which is part of the revised and expanded information in your book, Evolution, the Grand Experiment. And so you document that there are many scientists and evolutionists who say that whale evolution is among the best fossil evidence we have. Could you give us a couple examples?
You know, the PBS documentary, they had a show called Evolution, Great Transformations, and the show's about evolution. They had very few examples of evolution using fossils because there are very few that are credible. And they cited that the evolution of whales is the best fossil evidence. And also, in 2001, there was eight science organizations got together and wrote a white paper on evolution, an executive paper saying that this is the best fossil proof that we have to demonstrate evolution.
And those,
we're going to hang all of our beliefs on this one example.
And those eight science organizations include, for example, the Society for the Study of Evolution, the Society for Molecular Biology and Evolution, the Society of Systematic Biologists, Genetic Society of America, the Paleontological Society. So these are heavyweight science organizations. And when it comes down to it, the credible evidence, and that's credible to them in their eyes, what they think is credible fossil evidence to actually show transitional forms, they have very little to go on, but the best of the best is the whale evolution.
Yep. And the best of the best was all made up.
So this is now what we're about to document, one of the most fascinating stories in the history of science, how this all began. So really back in 1859 with Charles Darwin in his book Origin of Species, what did he think that whales evolved from?
Oh, Charles Darwin saw black bears feeding on insects in the water with an open mouth. And he said, boy, that looks just like a baleen whale eating krill. And so he thought that the whales may have evolved from a black bear-like critter.
So if you look at the mouth and a mouth wide open eating, then you'll say, well, look, it seems like whales evolved from bears. Now, as we'll see, if you look at the ear, you'll think something else. If you look at the teeth, you'll see something else. If you look at the DNA, you'll think something else. But this is typical of the kind of argument in the theory of evolution. It comes across as extremely superficial. Like, how did flight evolve? Well, you have rodents that are jumping out of trees and they gradually evolve wings. I mean, you can hardly get more superficial than the arguments used to teach tens of millions of children that the theory of evolution is true.
It's true. It's just, it's astounding that he could have even wrote this down in a book. And in fact, you know, when he released the first edition of The Origin of Species, he was basically laughed out of London. I don't know if you're aware of that. His fellow zoologists were saying, this is preposterous that you're saying that whales evolved from bears.
Right.
And eventually, Charles Darwin had to remove it from his second edition of The Origin of Species because, you know, he was getting so much heat from his fellow biologists.
But there's an authoritative biography of him that indicates that he didn't like the idea, that he felt compelled, forced to remove that argument.
Mm-hmm. He really wanted to keep the bear to whale story in the book, but he was kind of had his hands tied, so he went ahead and did it just for political.
He removed it. That was 1859, so you fast forward about a quarter of a century to 1883, and so it's no longer an animal with claws, but an animal with hooves.
You know, it's hard to even listen to you say that because it's like, did you say hooves? Did you say a hoofed animal became a whale?
Right.
But that's what the next proponent said. And that was Dr. Flowers from the British Museum. Actually, he was president of the Zoological Society in London. And after he made that proposal that whales came from hoofed animals, then he became the director of the British Museum in London. He got promoted when he said that.
Well, and yeah, that's more evidence of our claim that whoever could say the greatest absurdity with the straightest face becomes famous as an evolutionist. So now it's hoofed animals are the whale ancestors, and that remained for a long, long time, many decades, until you document the chronology in your book, Evolution, the Grand Experiment. In 1966, it was narrowed down, not just generally some hoofed animal, but a particular group of animals.
Yep, 1966, when the scientist from the American Museum of Natural History, Dr. Van Balen, said it was mesonychids. It's an extinct order of mammals with these big triangular teeth. He said these carnivorous hoof mammals were the ancestors of whales.
And a mesonychid, it looks like a wolf with a real big mouth and maybe wolves on hooves. That's what it looks like.
Yeah, if you saw them and didn't inspect them closely, you just think that was another carnivorous mammal. You wouldn't think much of them, but if you got close to them and looked at their feet, you'd say they didn't have claws. They had these little hooves on the ends of their feet. But they look like typical mammal of today.
Right.
But they're extinct.
So what Dr. Van Balen did, and again at the same museum in New York City, American Museum of Natural History, he said it must be this extinct order of mammals. And why is that? Because the teeth of these animals were very similar to the teeth of an extinct group of whales.
That's right. And again, they pick out a trait that looks the same. And they would say, oh, well, then they are related. One is an ancestor to the other. But that is very shaky ground because there's a lot of animals that are unrelated that have similar characters.
Mm. Dr. Werner, we did a series of interviews with another author, Walter Remine, in his book Biotic Message. And in fact, I've written a critique of that. And Walter and I, over about a 2-year period, were going back and forth. He's helping me improve my critique, and then we're going to offer it for publication along with his defense of his book. But overall, I think it's just a tremendous book, and we've come up with, Fred Williams and I, some Remineisms. Remineisms, where an evolutionist will present evidence that goes against the theory of evolution, and they'll present it as though it helps them better understand the theory. And one of the Remineisms that he made so popular is that evolutionists present parts of animal bodies, like a bone or organs, as though they evolved into a species. Or they'll present groups or an order or a family of creatures, and they'll say this order evolved into some species. And in reality, it's only a species that would evolve into a species based on the theory. Mm-hmm. So you could have teeth that look like the teeth in some other organism. Those teeth didn't evolve into anything.
That's right.
And so this is a big example of this Remineism, where they look at the mouth. Oh, it must be whales evolved from bears. They look at the teeth. They look at the ear. They look at the DNA. And so it's all, again, very superficial. And so this theory of mesonychids to whales, that peaked, you write, in 2001. And that's the year that Dr. Gingrich, again, Philip Gingrich, who is the discoverer of Pachycetus rhodesitus, he appeared in a PBS television show, Evolution, Great Transformations, the one you mentioned. What happened in that appearance and a publication that aired just a few days before that?
It's amazing. Here he is on PBS television. In 2001, Dr. Gingrich appears on this PBS show and is telling the audience the best proof of evolution is whales evolving from mesonychids. And yet the same week, he releases an article saying mesonychids have nothing to do with whale evolution. I made a mistake.
And this was so shocking you quote the president of the National Association of Biology Teachers, Wayne Carley, and this is at a leading science site, bio1.org, this quote, and Wayne Carley says, "The very day I viewed the segment Great Transformations, wherein Philip Gingrich firmly stated that whales evolved from wolf-like carnivores, he and several colleagues published a paper in Science, the journal Science, showing that, in fact, that whales evolved from artiodactyls."
So here he is. He records this show, I guess, you know, a year earlier, and it takes a while for the show to get edited. And the show comes out and says, whales evolved from a wolf-like mesonychid. And the same week the show is released, he releases a science article saying mesonychids have nothing to do with whales. Whales evolved from the even-toed hoofed animals, you know, like the even-toed like camels and cows and things like that. So he changes the order of mammals. He goes from one mammal order, which is the mesonychids, to a different mammal order.
And the evidence that he and his co-authors presented in the journal Science, they explain that there's an overstatement of the similarities between the teeth of mesonychids and the teeth of extinct whales. And since they were overstating the similarities, we should reject the entire line of reasoning. This is yet again an example of how superficial the entire argument has been for walking whales.
And for all of evolution, this is the best example, but this is how it goes in all the evidences for the fossils showing evolution. They pick and choose one little trait and say, oh, this is proof that this animal evolved into this other animal. And here he makes this similar mistake. Mesonychids evolved into whales because their teeth are similar. And then he says, oh, it was all wrong. I'm sorry.
And he was supported by Dr. Hans Thewissen, who is, it's really a family business. It's like a mom and pop family business with the professor and his student, who says, look, this whole idea of mesonychids is out the window. We realized that was all wrong. And yet, then you show displays from some of the world's, again, leading museums of natural history, and they still show the mesonychids evolving into whales.
Yep. Each museum I go into, I'm just stunned. I walk in to see the whale evolution display, and, you know, California Academy of Sciences says it was a hyena like a mesonychid, and the British Museum says it was a fox-like mesonychid, and the American Museum of Natural History says it was a lion-like mesonychid. But then the guy who came up with the idea and was supporting the idea says, oh, mesonychids actually have nothing to do with this. That's the wrong order of mammals.
And the museum exhibits that you photographed, you and your wife, we need to give her credit, Debbie Werner.
Absolutely.
Beautiful photography throughout the series.
She's the greatest.
Oh, wow. It's just, and what a beautiful presentation. Hardback. I mean, these are coffee table books. They're absolutely gorgeous and fabulous information. If you have a friend who is an evolutionist and he's a thinking person, then please do yourself a favor. Get the videos from Dr. Carl Werner, Volume 1 and Volume 2. And if you love them, which you will, also get the books. So you have photographs of exhibits from these museums you were mentioning. There's also the College of the Atlantic, that's in Maine.
Yep.
Their whale museum shows these mesonychids. There's the California Academy of Sciences in San Francisco and the American Museum in New York City, Natural History Museum in London. And so this is so well documented that they're simply telling a story based on superficialities, and whether or not they update the story when the last chapter has been falsified, well, they may or may not ever get around to it. In fact, you quote here from Dr. Philip Gingrich saying, although there is a general resemblance of the teeth of archaeocetes, these ancient whales, to those of mesonychids, such resemblance is sometimes overstated and evidently represents evolutionary convergence. So if it's identical, but they don't like the story, it's fallen out of vogue, Well, then they just happen to evolve in the same way by chance.
And listen to this too, Bob. Before they discovered this thing was an error, this whole thing was an error, they said evolution of whales from a land animal was the best proof. Then you show that all the land animals that they had said was the animals that evolved in whale were not ancestors of whales, and it's still the best proof. There's something wrong there, isn't there?
Because when they find out that these creatures, you know, they would draw them as marine organisms with flippers and tails and blowholes. Then they find more of the skeleton. They realize it was just a land tetrapod, but they still keep them in the lineage to whales. That's one of the most astounding aspects of the whole story.
That it still becomes, and it's still the best proof. No matter what you remove from this proof and show that it's wrong, it's still the best proof.
Right. So that brings us to 1983 then, Pachycetus. And this one is astounding because the organism was completely misrepresented, and yet today I went to the website of a famous evolutionist, theistic evolutionist, Francis Collins, his website, BioLogos, and he shows Pachycetus right there in the transition to whales, Pachycetus, Ambulocetus, Rhodocetus, it's all there today at BioLogos website.
Maybe you better call him and let him know that his evidence for his beliefs are wrong.
Yeah, I think so.
He was given false evidence.
And he is a Christian, but he is extremely intolerant of those who point out the evidence against evolution and intolerant of creationists. So it's now about a third of a century later, and they find Pachycetus. Could you give us more detail now?
I'd like to point out that the first idea of what Pachycetus looked like appeared on the cover of Science Magazine. That's the official magazine for the American Association for the Advancement of Science. It is a very large magazine.
And it's a journal. It's a peer-reviewed journal. It's called a magazine, but it's a journal.
Yes, and there Pachycetus looks like a whale, but he has these flippers on his front and back legs. He's underwater chasing fish. But when in 2001, when they found the full skeleton, not just two skull pieces, they found the full skeleton, they said, oops, we made a mistake. This is a land animal. It is not even aquatic. And yet they have him pictured swimming underwater, chasing fish with flippers on the front and back legs, with whale eyes, with whale ears, and all of it was conjecture.
And the blowhole.
The blowhole.
And some weird-looking aquatic tail that I can't even quite comprehend.
Yeah,
but
diving deep in the water.
And Dr. Gingrich is quoted saying that Pachycetus was the perfect missing link between whales and their terrestrial forebears. The perfect missing link. And so then what you do is you show with wonderful detail what they actually had, what the actual fossils were. And it reminds me again of Nebraska Man, popular during the Scopes Monkey Trial, when they found a tooth and they built a whole, you know, the ancestors to Homo sapiens. And it turned out to be the tooth of a pig, because then they found the rest of the skeleton. So what did they have from which they built this Pachycetus marine organism?
So for this color front page cover of Science Magazine, they have this creature, but it was based on two little skull fragments. Well, I'd take a few teeth also.
And a little bit of the lower jaw.
Lower jaw, upper skull, and it was probably one-fifth of the skull. And from that, they made a whole animal, flippers, whale, diving, aquatic. And when they actually found the fossils, they realized they had reconstructed the skull, which they actually had some pieces of. They got all of that wrong, too. It wasn't a whale skull. It was a land animal skull. The eyes were on top. The nose tip was at the end. And so you can take just two little fragments of a skull and end up on the cover of Science Magazine. That is an atrocity.
Well,
that
the most famous evolutionists are those who could state the greatest absurdity with the straightest face.
Absolutely. Yeah. That you would even have the gall to make a painting of this animal based on two little skull fragments.
Yeah.
And that the science community even allowed this to be put on the cover of their magazine is appalling.
In fact, they all went gaga over it, and it went around the world.
And that's when this idea that the whale evolution was the best proof of evolution, here it's starting now with this two little skull fragments and the recreated drawings of the perfect intermediate animal. But see, they made the perfect intermediate on conjecture as all this other stuff.
Because their favorite fossils are the incomplete fossils. And this documents,
it's an evolution's best friend.
Yes, this documents their low standard of proof. And so they reconstruct the skull. And I got to say, I mean, it's a beautiful job. You can't hardly have a better reconstructed skull. And it looks real. It's hard to tell where the actual fossil was and what part was imagined.
I saw the skull twice at two different museums. One was on display, one was in the back room. I had no clue when you see it the first time. You say, oh, that's a complete skull. It's all made up.
It's made up with the blowhole, which now this is all falling apart for Gingrich. But let's think about that for a moment. A blowhole. Natural selection, if you have a land animal with its nostrils at the tip of its snout, which is typical, and you're going to evolve into a whale, so your nostrils are going to move up your skull, like to your forehead, to the top of your head,
gradually
over generations. And so natural selection could not help move the blowhole.
No.
Until it's at least subfunctional. You got to have something functioning and enabling your respiratory system to work with being rerouted through your skull.
Yep.
And so that's pretty tough to do. And if you're an Olympic swimmer or a channel swimmer, you don't have children with nostrils on their forehead. It just doesn't happen. So
it would have had to happen by accident, and it'd have to be slow. And if you're going to move your blowhole, why didn't you move your foot to the top of your head, too? I mean, by accident. Why would it be a purposeful move like that? You know, everything would be by accident, you know?
That was in 1983, and we fast forward to 2001. You've already said it. Pachycetus becomes a land animal. And that's a heading in your Appendix F. And Carl, let me tell you, your book is wonderfully understated. I know here on the air, we're sort of letting it all hang out, you know, but throughout the book, you demonstrate a lot of self-control, way more than we have here at Real Science Radio. But so your heading is 2001, Pachycetus becomes a land animal. And that's it. So they found 150 bones of Pachycetus from behind the skull. They found other skull fragments and teeth. In fact, four partial skulls, and they were able to reconstruct virtually a complete skeleton of Pachycetus, and boy, does it look different.
It looks like, to the audience, it would look like a dog or something like that. It doesn't look like a whale.
A dog with a snout, or sort of like with a rat's snout. On the American Museum of Natural History, I went to their website today, and I looked for the first whale, and they have. I've changed this. This is now my desktop image on my MacBook Pro. And it says the first whale, and it shows Pachycetus.
Unbelievable.
And it looks more like a coyote or like a dog. And that's their first whale. But, you know, these evolutionists, they can't use the word dinosaur anymore. They're not allowed to say dinosaur. They can only say non-avian dinosaur. because they believe that birds are dinosaurs. So they could only, when talking about a T-Rex, they have to say non-avian dinosaur because they truly believe that birds are dinosaurs. A chicken is a dinosaur. In fact, pretty much everything is everything. So for them to call this dog-like creature a whale is really in good form for them.
Very good form, except everything that was used to define this animal as a whale has been falsified.
If it's been falsified, then why is it still in the transition to the whale when they completely misrepresented the organism? Why is it still there?
You'd have to ask them.
Well, I think it's too big to fail.
It's too big to fail. That's right. It's a story that's going to have to be disassembled over the next 50 years, and maybe 70 years from now they'll say, oh, we were probably wrong back there at the beginning of the 21st century.
Yeah. So it's kept in its place in the lineage to whales, yet it doesn't have a blowhole. Right?
Right.
In fact, it has the nose at the tip of its snout. It doesn't have paddles. They're gone. It's flippers. They've got hoofed feet for running.
That's right.
And how about the neck of Pachycetus?
Well, the neck is long, like a land animal, like a dog, like a human. It's not absent as in whales. So it's the wrong neck. It's a land animal neck. The eyes are in the wrong place for it to be a whale.
The eyes are not lined up behind the upper row of teeth or at the top
That's right.
of the head.
It doesn't have flippers. It doesn't have a paddle tail. It is a land animal.
So it is. So they pretty much got the animal entirely wrong, yet it's still in the whale tail. It's still there.
Yep, and it's still at the Smithsonian. If you go to the Smithsonian, I take it back. The Smithsonian still has them walking into water, but they put the nose back on the tip. So the Smithsonian does have it corrected, but they still believe it's the ancestor.
Well, yeah, and at like Biologos, here it is, Pachycetus, 52 million years ago, and they have Pachycetus right there in the lineage to the modern baleen whale. There it is.
Mm.
So you asked the question, should museums display misleading skulls? It's just so fun. The skull from the University of Michigan. And this is like the mother lode of whale transitional fossils for the world. This is the source. And so the skull from the University of Michigan looks real, but it's created from a few fragments. But it supported this idea that Pachycetus was a whale, a walking whale, and it's called the perfect missing link. And now we have the truth that it's all come crashing down. But what happened in 2009... when National Geographic did their television show titled When Whales Had Legs.
Okay, so now here again, we're on another PBS show. This is 8 years later. We still have the storyline that whales evolved from land animals. Same players, Dr. Gingrich. Now he's taken the mesonychids out. Now he has a new favorite piece, and this is Pachycetus that we're talking about with this faked-up skull. And he explains to us why Pachycetus is a whale. He says, I know it's a whale because there's this little bone on the ear. I mean, you're talking about the size of a thimble now. I see an S-shaped bone on there called a sigmoid process, and that tells me that this animal is a whale. Music builds.
Right, the music builds. And the narrator says, he spots a tiny S-shaped bone in the ear region. And so then your appendix really shows up close and personal this ear bone from Pachycetus. And it sure doesn't look like a whale's. It's called a sigmoid process, a little bent finger. It sure doesn't. But so we'll talk all through that. The skull that he held in this National Geographic TV special, When Whales Had Legs, it wasn't the corrected skull.
That's right. It wasn't the 2001 skull from 8 years earlier that was found that disproved all this.
It was
the 83 skull.
With the blowhole and the eye sockets on the side of the head. And so these are incorrect features that make Pachycetus look more whale-like. So they show the wrong skull. But they tell the story of why Pachycetus was a whale. And so I'd love for us now to share with the audience how that fell apart. Because the narrator says that when Dr. Gingrich saw this tiny S-shaped bone, that it can only mean one thing, that the modern whale began as this land animal right here.
Music builds.
The Pachycetus, right.
Music builds on the show right there.
Right.
This is like the great point, except the problem was, while he was saying this for this 2009 show, 11 years earlier, a Smithsonian, well, he was actually at the Carnegie at the time, a Carnegie scientist, Dr. Jesse Lowe, looked at what he was calling a sigmoid process, and he said, this is not a whale feature. What he's calling a whale feature is a land animal feature. This little flat plate that he's calling a sigmoid process that we have the picture of,
mm-hmm.
So it's not a whale sigmoid process. That's a feature you see in land animals.
And this is published, it's documented, and he uses very polite language, almost like an ambassador would, but he says that really this is compromised as a dead ringer for whales. This is compromised because it's simply not. And so then you show what the sigmoid process, the sort of the bent finger as part of the whale's ear bones, what it looks like from actual bones. And then you show the Pachycetus close up. And these photos remind me, Carl, of all the years when the number of chromosomes in a human being were reported in the science literature incorrectly. For 35 years, from 1921 to 1956, it was reported that we had 48 chromosomes. 48.
I didn't know that. That's interesting.
Yeah, 48. And you could look in a microscope and you could count them, but it was reported 48 instead of 46 because the authority of the scientist who originally got it wrong. And there were thousands of students who would have such a hard time counting, and they had to get 48. And so finally it was corrected. Yeah. And so that reminds me of this, because you look at the Pachycetus ear bone, and it just doesn't have this bent finger shape to it. It just doesn't have it.
You know, on the video that I shared with you that you can put on your website, it shows what a sigmoid process looks like. It's a separate two-minute video. And then it shows the Pachycetus, and you can see in that video that this is a stretch. It's not really even close.
Mm. So we have just one more minute for this part three of the series, and you ask, should these museum displays be corrected? And so you have from the Carnegie Museum and these other museums, Natural History Museum of Los Angeles and the Canadian Museum of Nature in Ottawa, you have their exhibits where they're explaining how they know Pachycetus was the ancestor to a whale. So what is it that they say?
These museums, when you look at the whale evolution segments of these natural history museums, say that Pachycetus is a whale because it has an ear process like a whale. That's the sigmoid process, but it doesn't. We just explained that this scientist from the Carnegie said it's not. It's a land animal feature. But all these museum displays say that's why Pachycetus is a whale, and it's false.
It's false, and so here's what they report. The first whale from the Carnegie Museum, ear bones from Pachycetus show a feature that is unique to whales.
And that's not true.
It's not true. And then from the Natural History Museum of Los Angeles County, the inner ear bones had some features seen in those of modern whales.
Which isn't true.
And the Canadian Museum in Ottawa. Pachycetus has a whale-like ear bone structure. Not true. And even if it were true, it's funny. It's like, what do you look at? Do you look at the teeth? Do you look at the mouth? Do you look at the ears? Do you look at DNA? Because each one tells a different story of what whales evolved from.
What's odd is that the Carnegie Museum says this in their museum display, but yet the Carnegie scientists said it's not true. Hmm. That's odd.
Yeah, right. And that's the pattern that we've seen throughout these interviews and in your great books and your videos. So thank you, Carl Werner. We have, hopefully we could conclude this with one more, if you're up for it, one more episode.
Oh, yeah.
All right. That'll be a thrill. Thank you, Carl Werner, Dr. Carl Werner. This is Bob Inyar for Fred Williams and Real Science Radio. May God bless you.
Turn up the Real Science Radio. Keeping it real. That's what I'm talking about.